Hi, this is Susie Larson, and thank you so much for listening to Live the Promise today. Our website is filled with even more powerful and encouraging interviews. Learn more by logging on to myfaithradio.com. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson, and this is Live the Promise, and we are here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. So glad you tuned in today. Hope you're having a good day so far. Well, if you just tuned in, you missed my first hour conversation with Stephen K. Scott, talking about the words that Jesus spoke, how to abide in Christ, to know what he says, to abide in his words. Such a powerful show. If you missed it, you might want to go back and listen, and the podcast will be up in just a little bit at myfaithradio.com. Next, we're going to be talking to Stephen Kendrick. He and his brother Alex have both been on the show a few times. You know the film War Room? It was one of those I loved every minute. I saw it three times, took friends and family with each time, and it's on my birthday list, my Christmas list, because the DVD's coming out soon. But we asked, last time we had the Kendrick brothers on, we asked them, would you come back after the fact? Tell us some stories about the impact of the film and maybe what you're working on next, and just to talk about the power of prayer. So gracious of them to come back and join us. We've got Stephen Kendrick. I'll get him on in just a moment. A quick reminder, our great giveaway is this Thursday, the day after tomorrow, where we devote the whole show to taking your calls on your mini mission trip. What's your mini mission trip? It's to go out and be the hands and feet of Christ. Do it somehow, some way. Go to a grocery store and pay for somebody's groceries. Go to a coffee shop and pay for somebody's coffee. Do what you can with what's in your hand, but get out of your comfort zone, open your eyes, and say, God, use me, and then do something. I want thousands of people to be mobilized to do things that they otherwise wouldn't do. Imagine the thousands of lives that would be changed just because you reached out, because Jesus did that for you, right? And so Thursday, you'll be calling in, telling us your stories, and we'll be giving away lots of fun gifts and just super excited to celebrate all that God has given to us. So let me tell you now about my guest. We'll get him on the show. Stephen Kendrick and his brother Alex write, produce, and direct films with strong biblical themes. They're well known for Flywheel, Facing the Giants, Courageous, and Fireproof. Together, Stephen and Alex's films have grossed a combined $78 million and are used by churches and ministries around the world as tools to equip believers to share the gospel story. Their recent film, War Room, is the one we're talking about today, just the impact of the show and the power of prayer. Stephen, welcome back to the program.
Thank you, Susie. I'm honored to be a part of your program again.
Always love to chat with you too, Stephen. I'm wondering, before we get into the conversation about the impact of War Room, is there a verse that you've been thinking about these days camping on, or a life verse that you carry with you?
Well, my favorite is Ephesians 3:20, that God can do more than we can ask or imagine according to the power that is already at work within us, which is, of course, by his Holy Spirit. But recently, John 15:7 has just been such a dear verse, because it's when Jesus says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, then you can ask what you will and it will be done for you. And it is from within the context of an abiding relationship with Christ that prayer really happens. And so there's so much wrapped up in that verse. And it's one of the only passages in Scripture. Psalm 37:4 is another one, but where Jesus goes beyond just our needs, and he says, if your heart is turned towards me and you're walking intimately with me, then you're in a position where he basically says in that passage that you can ask for your heart's desires. And, you know, you hear people say, you can only pray for what you need. And, you know, and James 4 says, if we ask for sinful things, God's not going to answer those things. But this is one of those passages where he's basically saying, if you delight yourself first in the Lord, then he'll give you the desires of your heart.
When you look back, because you've had a wild ride, Stephen, when you look, what are some first glimpses into your story when you dared? You know, you've taken your faith seriously for many years. As young guys, you and your brother were filming, you know, Christian videos and those kinds of things. But if you look back at kind of landmarks, when did you sort of dare to go out on a limb and pray that prayer, and God blew you away? What do you remember? What the first time that happened was for you?
Well, I know that with my wife, praying specifically for her, and I was praying, I started praying in 10th grade for my future wife.
Way to go.
At that time, yeah, and at that time, I didn't realize that she was in 7th grade, and she was an atheist, and it was that year that she began to believe that there was a God. And then if you fast forward to a few years later, I was a senior in high school, and we were having an evangelistic event at our church, and I was in the back praying for these students to come to Christ, not knowing that she was one of the ones that walked down the aisle at our church and gave her life to Christ at that event. And so then you fast forward to years later when I used to, you know, people will put PTL up under their name or a little fish or something like that, you know, praise the Lord. And so inside of the S in Stephen, for years, I would write J-I-L for Jesus is Lord. And people would always stop me and they'd say, what does that mean? And I would say, that stands for Jesus is Lord of my life. But what the question they would ask is, who's Jill? Who's Jill? And I'd say, well, there is no Jill. You know, Jill is, that stands for Jesus is Lord. But later on, when the Lord led me to marry my wife, her name is Jill.
Oh my goodness.
And it was funny that the Lord just kind of winked at me, because all those years I was like, Lord, just tell me your name. Who is it? And it was right there written on the inside of my name. You know, Jesus is the Lord of my life. So,
you declare my name, I will tell you her name.
That's right.
Amazing. Wow.
And her mom told me that they were going to name her Natalie. That was the whole plan. And after she was born, they looked down at her and they said, she's not a Natalie, she's a Jill.
That's awesome.
It was a last minute change. There, so.
Well, that never would have fit under that little S, so that's good. Worked out.
Right.
Okay, so it was years ago we were talking courageous. It was either you or your brother. I don't remember, because if I had you both on together and separate. But I said, what are you working on next? And you actually didn't know. So I feel like it must have been 2 years before War Room, because you didn't know, but you had a sense, but you said, we're praying about it. I want you just to talk a little bit about the process where all of a sudden you thought, we got to do prayer. And then you wrote the story with your brother. Tell me just how that came about.
Well, it's interesting how so many times when God leads you to do something, on the front end, you're like, it's a mystery. You know, I have no idea what the Lord's going to lead us to do. And then after he shows you what it is, you look back and you're like, well, of course, you know, that's exactly my whole life. He's been preparing me for this. But we grew up in a praying home. We saw a lot of junk and hypocrisy in the church, but we saw genuine Christianity lived out at home with two parents that were broken, and they knew that they needed the Lord, and they were desperate on their knees to cry out to God for our family. And our dad didn't grow up with a strong Christian father, so he was begging God, just teach me how to be a dad, you know, to these kids. And so, but anyway, we saw incredible answers to prayer in their lives. And our dad launched a Christian school with no money and no resources, no locations, but he felt like the Lord was leading him to do it. And we just saw God answer one prayer after another to make that happen. It was just a string of miracles. And so, if you fast forward to us landing at Sherwood Church, it's a very active praying church. More prayer was going on in that church than any church I'd ever been a part of before. And the pastor said a church will never rise above its prayer ministry. And so we need to be always letting prayer be the wind in the sails of everything we do in the church, that it needs to be first base rather than third base, or the steering wheel rather than the spare tire. And so we are landing at this church, and the Lord birthed this movie ministry out of there. But we didn't have the film training, we didn't have the money or the experience, and so it was really a string of one answered prayer after another for us to even survive on tiny budgets and not even knowing how to use the camera or the lights or any of those things. And so, but the Lord was in it. You know, he confirms when he is in something repeatedly, and he'll do it through his Holy Spirit, through a peace, through counsel, through his word, through circumstances and open doors and the unity of the body, you know. And so God was just working in all of those things to direct us to get into film. And so if you fast forward to War Room, when he says, call my people back to prayer, it was just like, well, of course, you know, it just made perfect sense. Because if you look at what is going on in our country, politics is never going to get it done. You know, religion is never going to get it done. And new programs are not. We need a movement of God. We need God to step in as he did before the Great Awakenings, you know, during the Great Awakenings. But the church had to unify, get humble, be broken before the Lord, repent, and begin to pray in unity, and then wait on the Lord. And sometimes, you know, we talk about they prayed and God showed up, but sometimes it was like 12 years of praying before some of those great awakenings happened. And so we can't just think in terms of this is a fad or this is our fall theme, you know, in our church. It has to be that my house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations every year until Jesus comes back. You know,
indeed.
So that kind of directed us into shooting a movie about prayer.
My hubby and I, very active prayer, lives we pray. It's just bedrock to our relationship. We pray every morning and every night. And sometimes it feels, Stephen, like it's just trench digging. You're digging and digging and digging, preparing for rain, so to speak. And there's a sameness about it. There's a freshness to it. But it's like it takes a certain grit to hang in there. And then you see a breakthrough and you're like, I didn't see that coming. And then God says, you've been praying about this. You didn't see this coming. You've been asking me. But I mean, it's a powerful thing. But I think in this soundbite society, this instant gratification, we become prayer sissies, I think, in a way. Well, I tried that. It's like you can't just dabble in it, like you say, as a fall program. You got to think long, don't you?
Absolutely. Well, I think about George Mueller. When he died, he had 50,000 documented answers to prayer in his prayer journals. But 5,000 of those were answered in the day he prayed them, which means 10% of the time when he's saying in Jesus' name, amen, the answer is walking in the door. But 90% of the time, it was the next day, next week, next month, next year. And there was one prayer. He was praying for a friend to come to Christ, and he prayed for 63 years for that man to come to Christ. And when Mueller died, the man still had not professed faith in Christ. But by Mueller's funeral, by that time, he had already given his heart to the Lord. And so I think back to Elijah in Scripture. You know, James talks about him being this example of this prayer warrior. You know, the effective, fervent prayer of the righteous man accomplishes much. Look at Elijah, and it talks about him praying for rain. But if you look at Elijah's life, he prayed 7 times before it rained. And, you know, he prayed 3 times when the widow's son had died before God resurrected him. It was 1 time when fire came down from heaven on Mount Carmel. So Elijah just, he kept on praying until God answered. And so we have to have it in our mindset. If we just had it in our minds that some things you pray for, God's going to answer right away. You know, it's Abraham's servant praying for the wife for Isaac, and he lifts his eyes on the amen, and there's Rebecca, you know. Mm. But there's going to be many things that it's next week, next month, next year, or it's 10, 20 years down the road before your prodigal son comes home or your non-believing husband comes to Christ. And God's timing is perfect. His timing, he is so precise, not just to the week or the month, but to the second. In how he answers. He's never going to let Joseph be in prison a day longer than he needs to be. He's never going to let, you know, Zacharias and Elizabeth wait a day longer than before she gets pregnant with John the Baptist. But they were shocked that he finally answered that prayer decades later. But he wanted to wait until then so that John the Baptist could kick in the womb when the Messiah in Mary's womb walks in the door. You know, God knows exactly what he's doing. So we can trust him and just say, Lord, your timing is better than mine. My times are in your hands. I'm just going to keep praying and keep seeking you and keep waiting on you until you answer.
Amen. Amen. Talking to Stephen Kendrick, brother Alex Kendrick, they wrote the film War Room. You've also heard of Fireproof and Courageous. When we come back, you're going to hear a clip from the film War Room. We're going to talk about that story and some of the amazing stories after the fact. Once that film hit the screen, what God did. I mean, talk about facing the giants. I mean, truly, when we come back, more with Stephen Kendrick when we come back. So much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise, talking to Stephen Kendrick. Always honored and blessed to have both Stephen and his brother Alex on the show, talking about their films and talking about the power of prayer today. In just a bit, we're going to talk about the impact of the film War Room. That thing comes out in DVD very soon, I think next week possibly. We're going to hear a clip that's, I took it off the War Room website. I hope that's okay. Miss Clara, she's one of my favorites. And I would love for you to comment on it afterwards, Stephen. It's just a couple minutes long. Here it is.
I appreciate you coming this morning. Coffee will be ready in a couple of minutes.
Oh, sounds good. Mm-hmm. Now, I ran a sales report from the area. Wrote down a suggested asking price for the house.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what do you think?
Mm-hmm. Now, what did you say your husband did for a living?
Actually, I haven't talked about that, but he's a sales rep for Brightwell Pharmaceuticals.
Mm-hmm. And where did you say you attended church?
Well, we occasionally attend Riverdale Community.
Mm-hmm. So you would say you know the Lord?
Yes, I would say I know the Lord. You think the Lord is okay with this asking price?
Mm-hmm. And you have children?
Miss Clara, my husband Tony and I have been married for 16 years. We have one daughter. Her name is Danielle, and she's 10. She enjoys pop music and ice cream and jumping rope.
Oh, well, that's good to know. Now, you say you attend church occasionally. Is that because your pastor only preaches occasionally?
Miss Clara, I really would like to help you sell your house. That's why I'm here. As far as my faith is concerned, I believe in God just like most people. He's very important to me.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me get our coffee.
So if I asked you what your prayer life was like, would you say that it was hot or cold?
I don't know that I would say it's hot. I mean, we're like most people. We have full schedules. We work. But I would consider myself a spiritual person. I'm not hot, but I'm not cold either. Just, you know, somewhere in the middle.
Here you go. I've got cream or sugar if you need it.
Oh, no, thank you. I like it black. Miss Clara, you like your coffee room temperature?
No, baby, mine's hot.
That's brilliant. So, Stephen, would you mind giving us some context around that wonderful clip?
Well, sure. In the movie War Room, Elizabeth Jordan and her husband, Tony, are active in the community, and they go to church, but they're like so many American Christians. They're lukewarm in their faith and not really surrendered to the Lord. And they would profess Christ as Lord potentially if you asked them, but lukewarm. And so that's the only place that Revelation says that we can't be, either mm-hmm. hot or cold, but we need to be lukewarm. And when Alex and I were working on that scene, he was talking about he wants people to be – this is how we work. And Alex says, I want to do a scene about not being lukewarm, how we need to be hot for God. Well, then I brought in, I said, well, Miss Clara needs some quirks and some things about her. I said, our grandmother was a prayer warrior, and she always had her coffee. So I said, let's talk about Miss Clara just loves her coffee, you know. And then Alex said, well, why don't we, and so he came up with the idea of saying, why don't we have her serve Elizabeth some lukewarm coffee? And I came back and said, well, why don't we have Miss Clara, and when she does it, she says, is your coffee room temperature? She says, no, baby, mine's hot. And then she comes back at her. And so, you know, he starts with the idea, and I build on it, and we kind of go back and forth, and it's a lot of fun. But that scene gets a lot of laugh in the theater, but it is where so many people are. You know, they can relate to Elizabeth at the beginning of the film, and hopefully they're going to go on the journey with her, that by the end of the movie, they understand more the importance of prayer, and not just that it needs to be a part of their lives, but how to do it more effectively.
I got to tell you, Stephen, when the film came out, my younger sister's husband, only in their 40s, but he was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer and just rocked our world. It's, we have a big family, very close family, and we just said, whoever wants to go will buy tickets. And we had a whole row when it first came out. And it was, we were all crying, of course, you know, just because we're suddenly given an opportunity to press together even more so in prayer. And we are on a daily family text, praying together, quoting scripture to each other. But that was one of those things that kickstarted a prayer. I mean, I'm a wild prayer woman, but to do this with my siblings and my mom, you know, it's absolutely amazing. But this is the day we're in where we need to be on our game. I mean, the world is being shaken right now, isn't it?
Absolutely. The church cannot operate business as usual. We have to be stepping up our game. And with the evil that is rampant and the pornography that's available and the lukewarmness that's in the church and how much persecution is coming against the church, we can't just expect, you know, the Christianity we've tried to live out, our inoculated Americanized version of it, that requires little sacrifice. You know, the Lord, if you read throughout the Old Testament, all the great men and women of God in Scripture were always people of prayer. In the New Testament church, Jesus was the ultimate prayer example, but also the ultimate prayer teacher, with instructing his disciples how to pray and when to pray and challenging them to. But the New Testament church, they were fervent in prayer. You will see the phrase devoted to prayer, and they devoted themselves to prayer throughout the book of Acts. And then you'll see in the epistles, Paul is challenging the church, devote yourselves to prayer. It has to be beyond just praying over a meal. It needs to be the first thing you do before anything else.
You know, I got to say, we're going to be taking a break in a couple minutes, but I got to say, just getting to know you over the airwaves over the last few years, talking about these different projects, sometimes you see if someone has success in one area, they maybe get a little full of themselves and go, well, if I could do radio, I'm going to go do TV. And maybe they get ahead of God. What I've noticed in the tone between both you and Alex is even though you've had success, I can hear the fear of God in you, where you're not taking a step without him. It's like, okay, we might have had success in this and this. We still are not taking a step without God. Talk about just how you both cultivate a heart of, really, I think, humility and reverence before God before you even go forth into the next project. We probably have about a minute and a half before we have to break.
Well, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and it will call us to humility. And people don't, they think, oh, well, that just means you respect God. But you see throughout even Hebrews that people, when anytime anyone encountered God face to face or they were in his presence, they were on their faces. It always affected their speech. They were just overwhelmed by the holiness and the omniscience of God. And so if you study the fear of the Lord in Scripture, and that it will cause us to hate pride, arrogancy in the evil way. And at the same time, you look at Joshua, you know, they took out Jericho, but then he didn't seek the Lord's counsel. And the next two chapters, he got defeated at Ai, and then he made a foolish, deceitful covenant with the Gibeonites because he did not seek counsel from the Lord. So we tell people, just because you had victory yesterday or you had success yesterday, you are foolish to run ahead of God in the future and think you can take the steering wheel back from him. You know, we need to always, moment by moment, we need to be seeking the Lord, saying, Lord, are you in this? Because the enemy, especially when you have spiritual success or you have any kind of fruit, he is waiting on the other end to tempt you and try to get you off track.
Oh, well said. When we come back, we're going to hear one more clip of Miss Clara praying, and we're going to talk about just the impact since the film's release. Again, the DVD's coming out very soon. Fantastic Christmas gift for those you love, and if you love me, you can get me one. I'm just kidding. It's on my family Christmas list. But I'm Bum Ching, Matt says. Talking to Stephen Kendrick. When we come back, we'll talk more about the impact of the film, War Room. Tuning in. I'm Susie Larson. This is The Promise. Think about that. Imagine if there was a huge awakening in the body of Christ, that we started to humble ourselves, walk in a reverent fear of God, that we humble ourselves and we pray. And we pray for those who vote differently. We pray for our leaders. We pray for our teachers. We pray for marriages, for the waywards to come back home. Instead of ranting on Facebook and social media about what's wrong with the world, how about we intercede before God in heaven? Talking to Stephen Kendrick today, he and his brother have written and produced these amazing films, Flywheel, Facing the Giants, Courageous, Fireproof, and the one we're talking about today, War Room. And if it's okay with you, Stephen, I should have asked you before this. Please forgive me. And if you don't want me to, we have a clip from your War Room website of Miss Clara praying. Would you rather we not air that, play that? Or?
Oh, no. We love it.
Okay.
Definitely.
Good.
Play it.
So this is a 2-minute clip. You're going to love Miss Clara. She reminds me of my mentor. When we come back, Stephen will share a bit about just what's happened since this film released. Let's listen in.
You've done it again, Lord. You've done it again. You are good and you are mighty and you are merciful. And you keep taking care of me when I don't deserve it. Praise you, Jesus. You are Lord. Give me another one, Lord. Guide me to who you want me to help. Raise up more that will call upon your name. Raise up those that love you and seek you and trust you. Raise them up, Lord. Raise them up. Lord, we need a generation of believers who are not ashamed of the gospel. We need an army of believers, Lord, that hate to be lukewarm and will stand on your word above all else. Raise them up, Lord. Raise them up. I pray for unity among those that love you. I pray that you open their eyes so that they can see your truth, Lord. I pray for your hand of protection and guidance. Raise up a generation, Lord, that will take light into this world. That will not compromise when under pressure. That will not cower, Lord, when others fall away. Raise them up, Lord. That they will proclaim that there is salvation in the name of Jesus Christ. Raise up warriors, Lord, who will fight on their knees, who will worship you with their whole hearts, Lord. Lord, call us to battle, that we may proclaim you King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I pray these things with all my heart. Raise them up, Lord. Raise them up.
Come on, somebody. If that doesn't make your heart beat faster, I wonder if you have a pulse, I just got to say. That is amazing. What's it like for you when you're in the minutiae of all the details of production to step back on this side, Stephen, and listen to that? What's that like for you?
It's humbling and exciting at the same time, because every one of the movies, you know, we look back at how the Lord led us to a specific scene idea and then how it came together. You know, he provided Karen Abercrombie to be Miss Clara in the movie, and she was so right for the role.
Oh,
she'd already been praying that God would let her use her acting ability to advance his kingdom. And then when the scene came together, and I remember all the clips that you see that of the things she's praying for, all of those things, the people that are representing the persecuted church are really Vietnamese refugees. He had to flee Vietnam because of the religious persecution that they were experiencing. Mm. And they were praying for their persecuted brothers and sisters while we were filming them.
Mm.
The man at the end of that clip who's lifting his hands over the city of Charlotte and praying, he had been praying for Charlotte for 20 years that God would use that city to proclaim that Christ was Lord somehow. And now we're shooting this movie there that's going to, Lord willing, 76 countries around the world on DVD and digital download. And there's so many of those images. It's not acting, you know, it's not a Hollywood fabrication. It's us getting to capture what God was doing in his church all along. So it's very exciting.
It's absolutely amazing. Absolutely amazing. And when I kind of joked and tied in Facing the Giants, if I remember right, correct me if I'm wrong, but when War Room hit the theaters, you were in, what, a, half or a third of the theaters that most films would release in, and yet you landed on the top of the charts. Talk about just maybe the odds you were facing and how that all played out.
Well, you know, we're making a $3 million movie, and so that's compared to Hollywood's, you know, 10, 20, 50, 100, $200 million movies that they're releasing. And, you know, we're not in Hollywood. You know, we have not been to film school. And so we prayed through everything, and we're praying that God will enable people to act beyond their own ability. You know, we're asking the Lord to send us to the right locations and put the crew together. And we saw so many miracles happen on set. We had more prayer, I believe, for this film than any of the other films. We had over 1,000 people that were getting emails and praying for us throughout the entire production. And so it was just, it's exciting to see how the Lord brought all of that together. And so we're looking at what the Lord has done and just rejoicing, you know, but we weren't expecting it to be number one in the nation. You know, we were hoping for number three at least, because Fire Breathing Courageous had both opened at number four in the nation. And but the second weekend it was out on Labor Day weekend, it moved to the top spot, and we were surprised. We were like, Lord, this blows us away. We can't believe that you would allow a movie that ends proclaiming Jesus as Lord and King of Kings and Lord of Lords, as you just heard on that clip, and ends really with a worship service calling people back to prayer, that would be the number one movie in the United States theaters, you know. And so we were just looking back, rejoicing. There was a lady who is a modern-day Miss Clara named Molly Bruno who was praying for us the entire production, and she passed away a couple of months before the movie came out in theaters. But she had gone to her daughter one day back in the spring of this year, and she said, "The Lord told me this morning in my quiet time that Warren will be the number one movie in the United States when it comes out." And her daughter was like, "Yeah, right, Mom." Hmm. Yeah, you know, she said, "You've been praying for it, and so you're kind of, you know, biased." And Molly said, "That's what the Lord told me this morning." Molly passed away on June 6th, the day after we finished writing the battle plan for prayer book. And but she had seen the movie. We had taken it over to her house before she passed away, and so she got to see the movie. But she was a modern-day Miss Clara, had incredible answers to prayer in her life. And we actually put on the War Room DVD a piece, an interview that we did with Molly before she passed away. And she is so in love with Jesus. Mm. It comes out of everything that she says when you're watching that behind-the-scenes segment.
So, what an amazing story, Stephen. So help me understand this, because I just don't understand the logistics. So it came out in how many theaters to start with? Was it 1,000-something or?
Yeah, it was in 1,135 theaters on opening weekend. And, you know, big movies that will come out will be in 3,000 or 4,000. You know, so we're in a third of those. And so, and then the second weekend, it moved into the top spot, which is unusual too, because usually a movie hits its peak on the opening weekend and then it drops from there.
My.
And so that was a surprise, but the buzz and the word of mouth that was coming out about War Room moved it into the top spot on that second weekend. We were just praising the Lord, just beside ourselves. And the good thing was, it opened doors in other countries where there were, in the United Kingdom, they started talking about this movie about prayer that was number one in the nation, you know. Even on DVD now, when we're promoting the movie internationally, we can say this was the number one movie in the United States. And it gives us those avenues and those pipelines to be able to take the movie to more people that probably never would have seen it. But other countries watch what is going on in the U.S., and they like to keep up with what's going on here. And so the Lord gave it that favor. And so now, as it's being released, and it's actually a week from today that it will hit DVDs in the U.S.
Wow.
On the 22nd, but 3 days before Christmas. And so when War Room comes out in the U.S., then it will expand to the 76 countries plus around the world, is what has happened in the past with the previous films. And so what's exciting for us are the stories that are going to be pouring in next year from the international release and seeing what God is doing in prayer in his church in other countries.
Mm, so. Absolutely amazing. So I'm not sure what the process is for getting into theaters. So you have 1,100. After it hit number one, does that open doors for other theaters to go, okay, there's interest here, we're opening our doors to this film as well, or doesn't it work that way?
Yes, no, that's exactly what happened. Sony poured more money into the theatrical release. they were surprised as well. And what's funny was in our initial meetings with them, you know, we're two white guys in Albany, Georgia, showing up in their office, and we said, we want to make a movie about an African-American woman's prayer closet. And they're looking at us like, what? They're like, what are you talking about? So we said, well, this is just the direction that God's led us to go. And so they were like, well, you know, this movie's probably not going to do as well as your other films. You know, they just told us that up front. But we said, well, if that's true, then so be it. But this is where the Lord's leading us. And so they were surprised. They expanded the movie into hundreds more theaters. I think it ended up in like 1,900 and something a few weeks later. But it's still in a few theaters even today. And the DVD is about to come out. And this is, you know, August 28th was opening weekend. So it has lasted a long time. You know,
absolutely amazing. I can only imagine from their context what it must be like, because in a day of striving and manipulating and posturing and step on who you need to get ahead, in walk these humble, God-fearing guys going, well, this is what God wants us to do. This is, to me, modern-day David Goliath or a Daniel scenario, but we serve the same God. He was the same yesterday, today, and forever. We have to engage our faith on that level, that if we walk in step with him, nothing is impossible, is it?
That's exactly right. You know, he can do today exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask or imagine. And Flywheel, our first film, was $20,000, and it sold over 1 million units and went international too. And it was definitely a five loaves and two fish story. But people talk about War Room because it was a $3 million movie, and we could have asked for more money, but we didn't need more money. You know, that was the story that God had led us to make, and we tried to steward that well. We actually came in under budget and to send back money to Sony, you know, as part of that. And so they're looking at that thinking, okay, this is totally outside the box. Not only are they coming in with a small budget asking for very little, but then they're coming in under budget on this film. And so, but our goal has never been to make money. You know, praise God if we do, praise God if we don't, but impacting lives will matter in eternity.
Yeah.
You know, we want to be wealthy in heaven, you know?
Yeah.
Jesus said, lay up treasures for yourself in heaven and let it be there. And so this earth is not our home. So.
Well, you know, the question that has to be for all of us, if we want to be part of a necessary miracle, is how much can he bless us before we make it about us? And I feel like you are stewarding the Father's glory in such a way that he can entrust the much that he has to. It's just so amazing. When we come back, I'm going to ask you, Stephen, some prepping you here for what's next. If you have a sense, you can give us a glimpse of that. And any other stories you'd like to share, just of the impact of War Room. Loving this conversation with Stephen Kendrick. If you have a question, we have one more segment with Stephen. I'll maybe take a call or two, but I want to give him as much time as possible. So here's the number, 877-933-2484, 877-93-FAITH, or email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com. More with Stephen Kendrick when we return. Okay, I have a confession to make. When I speak at retreats and conferences, this is my new song. I used to do it to Mandisa, but now this is the song from War Room that I get women up and we get moving and we dance. It's just fun. Someday we'll send you a video, Stephen. It's pretty fun to see 2,000 women breaking it down to that song. Absolutely amazing. And that song is when Priscilla Shire's character just has enough with that enemy and she puts him in his place and starts marching around her house. And oh my goodness, it was so great. So here's the question for you. Do you have a sense of what's next? Are you just in recovery mode? What's going on for you guys?
We've just finished all the stuff on the DVD release, and so excited about that coming out. And the books and curriculum that we've written connected to the movie, The Battle Plan for Prayer, that has just come out with Priscilla Shire's fervent book about prayer for women. And so we've been promoting those things. And then the plan for us is to next year really spend a lot of time with our wives and kids, you know, rest and recharge and pray and ask the Lord, you know, be seeking him next year for what is his next God idea for the future. We don't want to presume that he wants us to make another film, but so far he's led us to make five. And so we want to be praying. And, you know, Alex and I and our wives, we had this conversation of, if God ever says, just shut it down and go to Africa and be missionaries, or, you know, start a small church or whatever, we need to be ready to obey him and never run ahead of him. And so our plan is, our families have been so supportive of us as we've been doing traveling, as we've been making the movies. And so we want to spend some time discipling them, pouring into them this next year, and then hopefully in 2017 for us to jump back into production.
That's a brilliant idea. And, you know, just for the record, when you're producing DVD curriculum and writing books, those are major projects. They may look like little side notes to a film, but they in themselves and all the promotion that goes with that is no small thing. So to go from film to those things is a very big deal. I just need to, you know, paint that context for people so they understand the work hasn't stopped since the film released, you know?
That's exactly right. We've been looking forward to the break, you know, of coming up, and so have our families. But it's one of those deals where we don't want to – books don't want to be written and movies don't want to be made. You know, you have to – it's pushing a heavy rock up a hill the whole way. And so – and if you're really seeking the Lord and walking in the fear of the Lord, you want to be careful that you don't just slap something down that sounds good. You know, it needs to be – lining up with the word, and if people are making decisions about their families and future based upon something they read in a book you write, it better be lining up with the word, because you're held accountable to that.
Indeed. I'm 2 weeks or 3 weeks away from my next deadline, and it's exactly that. It feels like you're rolling or pushing a rock up a hill, and it does take such focus and discipline not to do a filler job, but to really seek God. I just appreciate that analogy. Well, this listener called in and said, how did the Kendrick brothers choose Priscilla Shire to star in this movie? Love her Bible studies. What do you say?
Priscilla wrote The Resolution for Women, connected to the movie Courageous, and we got to know her on that project and just fell in love with her family, her heart for the Lord. And she has such a dynamic, fun personality that when we were working on the character of Elizabeth Jordan for War Room, we thought about Priscilla a lot. We thought, this needs to be somebody like Priscilla Shire, you know. And then we said, we wonder if she can act, you know. So we called her and asked her to audition, and she just laughed on the phone. And she said, I'm a speaker, I'm not an actress, you know. But she saw the ministry value after she read the script, and she said, this really is ministry to people. So, and we told her, we said, if you stink, we will not cast you in the movie.
So she rest assured.
Her husband would film little scenes with his iPhone and shoot them to us. They would text us scenes that she was practicing, and we realized that she had raw talent in her. And so we hired a professional acting coach who was a believer, who worked with Priscilla for a few weeks, and she just took to it and did such a great job. But we look back again that Priscilla already has a passion for prayer and for the word. And we knew that the platform that we would be giving this lead actress, it would be important that she would leverage it for the kingdom and not just try to advance her acting career.
Exactly.
And Sony offered some well-known actresses that have in out of Hollywood who would be more faith-friendly. But we prayed it through and did not feel a piece about that at all. And we said, we want to cast Priscilla. And they were like, who is she? Mm-hmm. And we're like, well, she's never acted in these things before, but we think she can do it, you know.
You know this movie these two white guys want to make about an African-American family, about a woman in a prayer closet? Well, the star never acted before, but you got to trust us.
That's
on
right.
This.
That's right.
Absolutely amazing.
They've learned, because we've been on so many movies with them and have made decisions that just made no sense for them, but they've ended up working, you know, over and over, they've gotten to the point where they're just like, whatever, you know. So they're like, we'll just support you, you know, but it's almost like they're waiting for us to strike out. God just keeps showing up.
Oh, my. Well, that choice proved true, because she was amazing. You know, someone's not a good actor when it occurs to you they're acting. You know what I'm saying? Where it's like, you know, you're watching someone who's acting. Never, ever. I mean, I was so pulled into the story with the way that she carried that character. But I have to say, every character, I mean, the daughter, Elizabeth's daughter, and her wife, her husband, Tony, and Miss Clara, every one of them, I felt like I couldn't have picked a better person to fill that role.
Well, she had never acted before either. That's actually Priscilla's niece.
You're kidding.
And she Priscilla said, hey, can I audition my niece? And we were thinking, well, is this just nepotism kicking in? But She loves the Lord. Her mom runs a women's ministry. Her dad actually helps run Tony Evans' ministry. And she has a natural talent, but she had never acted before either. And when we cast her, she beat out, when we auditioned her, she beat out all these girls that had been in other movies and projects before. And we were like, okay, here we go. And, you know, so, but on the War Room DVD, people will see how we went through the audition process and made those decisions and how the Lord was in the middle of every one of them.
My goodness. Well, we'd be praying here in a couple minutes, but you got to tell the story of Beth Moore. You told it last time, and I still laugh when I think about it, because you had a little side cameo, and you actually were auditioning other actors, and they weren't settling for you, and you had a sense of, or did you suggest Beth, or did Priscilla suggest Beth? Help me remember that part.
It was Priscilla. Priscilla was in the audition room because we were just about to start shooting. She had already moved to Charlotte. And we were auditioning these different ladies that were, again, actresses, and we just couldn't find the fit. And Priscilla said, "What about Beth Moore?" And we were looking at her thinking, "Are you kidding?" And she said, "Beth," she said, "I wonder if Beth could do it." And we said, "Well, because it's such a tiny role and it's only two scenes, if she'd be willing to, we would be able to do it." Because she's so funny in real life. She's hilarious. And so she called her on the phone, and we all just laughed, and Beth said, "I'm in," you know, and so. And when Beth showed up on set, she walked up to us and she said, "Look, I am up for an adventure," but she said, "I refuse to ruin this movie." She said, "I don't want to look like a buffoon." She said, "Just be patient with me. We can take as many takes as you want to take." But she said, "But I refuse to ruin your movie." So, and she's just a firecracker, but she did an amazing devotion for the whole crew that morning, the day that we were shooting with her, and we had a lot of laughs with her. But her dad ran a movie theater when she was growing up, and it's just like the Lord to allow her now to be in a film.
So, my goodness.
It was a lot of fun.
Just so, so precious. And the fact that you have an audacious dad, and you have a dad who didn't have a faith history, not only is he saying, "God, help me be the kind of dad that I should be," and then he's audacious enough to start a Christian school. I mean, it's in your genes to be audacious, isn't it?
Well, we and our mom is a praying mom. She's 73 years of age. She gets up early every morning and prays for her three sons and 19 grandchildren by name. And so we know we're standing on the shoulders of the faith of great parents.
Indeed.
And so we're very grateful for that.
Well, I truly can't thank you enough for your just integrity and the way you've stewarded the gifts God has given you. And you and your brother are in my prayers often, and you will continue to be. And I'm just going to be praying for you as you rest and you enter that Sabbath time next year. Would you pray for our nation, Stephen, as we wrap up today?
Absolutely. Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, we come before you knowing that we have a sinful nation, and we deserve your judgment. Mm-hmm. And your word says the wrath of God is being revealed right now against all ungodliness and unrighteousness in men, and who have the truth in their unrighteousness. So, Lord, we pray, God, knowing that our nation has heard the gospel. We have Bibles in every Walmart being sold. We have people proclaiming the word of God on television, on radio. And yet our nation has turned away from you, is turning away from you, God. And we know we deserve your judgment. And Lord, we pray for the church, that it is our calling, Lord, to humble ourselves and to repent and to pray and to seek your face. And we pray, God, that you would revive your church, that you would call people to be faithful themselves, regardless if their spouse is being faithful, regardless if their pastor is preaching the word, that they would be faithful in your word, that they would be faithful in prayer, God. We pray, Lord, that you would bring unity in your church and that we would be seeking you in unity. And, Lord, that it wouldn't be just for a week or a month after we see a movie, or it wouldn't be after a church Bible study curriculum or program for a few weeks. But, Lord, I pray that our churches would become houses of prayer for all nations. And, Lord, that we would experience your power in our generation, Lord. We need deliverance from the evil one. We need you to lead us away from temptation, Lord. We need your kingdom to come and your will be done. And, Lord, we say yes and amen to your word and to your will. And, Lord, we pray, God, that you would intervene mightily in our generation, that you would have mercy on your church, Lord, that your goodness would lead us to repentance. So, Lord, I pray, God, that we would fix our eyes on Jesus, and that we would run this race that you've set before us and lay aside any sin, any weight, any hindrance that is holding us back from doing your will and pleasing you.
In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Stephen Kendrick, check out the book, The Battle Plan for Prayer, and I'll meet you back here next time.